Welcome, everyone. You're joined by Nika Vasolo, an associate at the Corporate and Commercial Department in Namibia, and welcome to another episode of CDH Conversations Podcast. I am joined by my colleague, Sharif. Morning, Sharif.
Good morning, Nika, and everybody listening. My name is Sharif Martin, associate at CDH Namibia in the Corporate Commercial Department, specializing in the oil and gas department as well.
Sharif and I are both associates in the Corporate and Commercial Department at the CDH Namibia Windhoek office, and we're here to discuss some very interesting topics. Our topic today is nuclear neighbors, dealing with both Namibia and South Africa. You know, for years, the landscape about nuclear energy in Africa has been quite muted, you know, relegated to policy papers and the lone towers of Kuburg, but the silence is over. And today, we're going to be looking at the contrast between South Africa, you know, the grid is screaming for stability, and in Namibia, the ground is rich with fuel and, you know, major policy changes and a new regime and so on. And the core question is like, what's, you know, is this about keeping the lights on? Is this about geopolitics? Is this about finance? You know, and we had to just answer a few of these questions and to see what the road forward looks like for both Namibia and South Africa. So starting us off, Sharif, why are South Africa and Namibia suddenly talking about nuclear again?
Thanks for the question, Nika. It's actually not sudden. It's the return of an old conversation with new urgency. For decades, nuclear was always seen as too expensive, you know, too controversial, and quite frankly, too big for most African economists to justify. But now the pressure is different. We've got accelerating industrial demand, increasing instability in global energy markets, and the hard reality that renewables alone can't always deliver baseload power without grid upgrades and storage. And South Africa is the most obvious case. It has a mature grid and the continent's only commercial nuclear plant, which is Kuburg. You know, with load shedding and energy insecurity, nuclear becomes attractive again as a stable anchor. And Namibia's story is different. Namibia doesn't have nuclear power today, but it's something equally strategic, uranium. And once you're a globally significant uranium producer, the conversation inevitably shifts from we export the raw material to should we be doing more in terms of the value chain. It's not only about electricity. It's also about geopolitics, industrial strategy, and sovereignty.
Yeah, I think the bingo word of last year is also beneficiation, you know. But what I'm picking up is that there's a difference between Namibia and South Africa, and so much as our countries have a major shared history, you know. So when we say nuclear neighbors, what are the biggest differences between South Africa and Namibia's nuclear journey?
Well, Nika, South Africa is already a nuclear power nation, even if it's limited to Kuburg, meaning it has operational experience, nuclear-trained engineers, and an established institutional memory. Importantly, it also has a national discourse around nuclear. You know, people have opinions, government has policies, and the regulator has a long track record. Namibia doesn't have that electricity generation history, but Namibia is arguably one of the most important countries in the world in the uranium conversation, not by politics, but by geology. We've got world-class deposits of large-scale producers, and uranium is becoming more relevant again because nuclear globally is being reframed as part of decarbonization. So South Africa brings the end-user perspective, you know, running nuclear in a national power mix, and Namibia brings the upstream strategic perspective, you know, supplying the fuel source, negotiating export rules, and deciding whether it wants to move into conversion, enrichment partnerships, or downstream nuclear-related industries.
So, Sharif, Namibia only generates about 750 megawatts at peak demand, you know, and we've been making a lot of major strides on green energy. So my question is, does Namibia even need nuclear energy, considering the solar and wind potential that the country has?
You know, Nika, that brings me back to baseload. And that's a great question. And it's not a yes or no answer. Namibia's solar potential is exceptional. And wind is increasingly viable too. I was in Lüderitz a few weekends ago. It's beautiful seeing those huge turbines towering over my hometown. But the question is whether Namibia can build enough generation capacity, plus transmission, plus storage, plus grid stabilization, fast enough to support industrial growth. Also, Namibia's energy strategy isn't only about powering homes. It's about powering industries. You know, you look at mining, desalination, green hydrogen production, and potentially data centers. These sectors demand consistent, high-volume energy. So nuclear becomes relevant when you need long-term baseload reliability. But it's important to say, nuclear isn't an alternative to renewables. It's more of a complement. The real issue isn't nuclear versus solar. It's how do we build a resilient energy system that can serve Namibia, you know, 20 to 40 years from now?
Okay, so we've identified that there's a need for it. And, you know, even if we're doing all everything else with all the other methods that we're using to generate power, I mean, nuclear has a place here, you know. And just going back to South Africa, I mean, since they're a couple steps ahead of us, what are some regulatory lessons that then we can learn from South Africa when it comes to nuclear?
Good question, Nika. The biggest lesson is institutional strength. Nuclear is not a sector where regulation can be vague, political, or inconsistent, because the entire industry is built on a safety culture, public trust, and long-term compliance. South Africa's national nuclear regulator is one of the key examples on the continent of an independent, technically grounded regulator with a mature framework. Whether people agree with policy decisions or not, South Africa has developed a regulatory architecture where licensing, safety review, emergency planning, and oversight are well institutionalized. Namibia's opportunity is to build a credible nuclear governance regime early. Even if Namibia does not build a nuclear plant soon, it's already in the nuclear ecosystem because of uranium. That means Namibia benefits from having strong frameworks on radiation protection, security of nuclear material, waste handling, transportation regulation, and compliance monitoring. So Namibia can also learn from the South African political experience. Nuclear can easily become politicized. So credible regulation protects not only the public, it also protects investors and protects government from reputational damage.
Okay, so there are some things to learn, and that's actually very strategically important. So, but what about from a commercial standpoint? What's the hardest part about a nuclear project?
The hardest part is not the engineering. It's the financing and risk allocation. Nika, nuclear projects demand massive upfront capital. Investors are nervous because timelines can stretch, delays can happen, and public opposition can increase costs dramatically. If you're going to build nuclear, you need stable policy, a reliable buyer for power, and a bankable revenue model. And that often requires state backing, sovereign guarantees, long-term offtake agreements, and clearly allocated risks between contractors, government, and operators. So in short, nuclear doesn't fail because it's not technically possible. It fails because it's financially and politically hard to execute. However, the incentives are quite clear for Namibia. With current consumption of about 750 megawatts, future projected energy demand, and international cooperation, a nuclear plant could meet domestic demand and turn Namibia into an energy exporting country.
Okay, just while we're on exporting, is nuclear power even commercially viable in Africa?
It can be, Nika, but viability depends on the country's grid scale, demand trajectory, and governance quality. Nuclear is not ideal for small grids unless you're talking about modular reactors in the future. Traditional nuclear plants are large and require strong grid infrastructure to balance load. South Africa makes more commercial sense because demand is high and there's already nuclear infrastructure. Namibia would need to be much more strategic. It would have to integrate nuclear into a broader industrial plan. For example, pairing nuclear baseload with desalination, industrial zones, or hydrogen could make the economics more defensible. But even then, Namibia would likely need to approach nuclear as a structured partnership project, not as a purely domestic build. That's where geopolitics comes in.
Okay, so there's an international component to this as well. You know, Namibia can't do this by itself. Namibia being a major uranium supplier, does that give it real geopolitical power?
Yes, Nika, but it's a different kind of power. Uranium doesn't create the same headline power as oil and gas because it's not traded the same way and nuclear fuel supply chains are highly regulated. But uranium absolutely confers strategic influence because it's part of a long-term energy security planning for nuclear nations. Countries don't sign uranium supply contracts casually. It's a long-term security decision. And Namibia sits in a strong position. It has a stable jurisdiction, strong mining pedigree, and high-grade strategic deposits. So the geopolitical question is whether Namibia wants to remain only a supplier of raw uranium or whether it wants to move up the chain. Cautiously, of course. In nuclear-adjacent industrialization, that's where governance matters because enrichment and conversion touch global non-proliferation sensitivities.
Okay, just, you know, speaking about the supply chain and moving up that supply chain from just simply extraction to maybe production, does exporting uranium but not producing nuclear power create a strategic contradiction for Namibia?
It can feel contradictory on a political level, but commercially it's common. Many countries export strategic minerals without consuming them locally, but Namibia could use that contradiction as a leverage. It can negotiate technology partnerships, scholarships, nuclear engineering training, and research collaborations as part of resource diplomacy. Not necessarily to build a plant tomorrow, but to build a knowledge base and future optionality. In a way, Namibia's uranium gives it a seat at the table where many African countries aren't even in the room. The key is using that seat strategically.
Okay, that makes sense. But at this point, I think it's probably time to talk about the elephant in the room. Nuclear scares people. How important is public trust in a nuclear program?
Public trust is everything. You can have perfect engineering and still lose the project. If the public doesn't buy in, nuclear safety isn't just technical, it's social. People remember disasters like Chernobyl and Fukushima. They worry about radiation, waste, and security. So the government and industry must engage transparently. If information is hidden or even spun, public resistance hardens. South Africa's experience shows that nuclear debates become emotional and political. Namibia can learn from that. Namibia can start public education early. Explain radiation, explain waste management, explain safeguards. The more informed the public is, the less vulnerable the conversation becomes to fear-based narratives.
Okay. So from what I've learned today from this conversation is that, you know, Namibia and South Africa, you know, they both have these ambitions, the conversation coming back, but we're on two completely different sides of the coin. You know, one's further along and has to revitalize something, and Namibia is more at the start. We know that the engineering is possible, the technical capabilities are there, you know, but we'll have to work with international partners. We have to be mindful of the financial risk, the geopolitical risk, and the financing. But in your view, what's the realistic nuclear future for Namibia over the next 10 to 20 years?
For me, the realistic future is Namibia becoming a more strategic uranium jurisdiction and a nuclear partner. Not necessarily Namibia switching on a nuclear power plant immediately. Over the next decade, I see Namibia focusing on expanding uranium output, strengthening regulatory systems, and extracting more value through services, research, and industrial partnerships. The question isn't only, will Namibia build a nuclear power? It's, will Namibia build nuclear capability? That's a broader and more achievable goal. So over the next 20 years, if demand rises, if industrial growth accelerates, and if modular nuclear becomes commercially proven, then nuclear could become a real option for Namibia. But the groundwork has to be laid now. I'm talking law, institutions, safeguards, and definitely skills development.
Okay, but Sharif, taking that into account, is nuclear really about energy, or is it also about power politics and prestige?
Vika, it's always both. Countries pursue nuclear partly for energy security, but also because nuclear places you in a certain strategic category globally. It changes your diplomatic relationships with security obligations and your bargaining power. That's why nuclear is never only an electricity decision. It's a national strategic decision.
Yeah, I think they call it nuclear hedging, you know, where countries take advantage of their nuclear position. You see a lot of this with, you know, Japan does this. You see Iran does this a lot, you know, for more modern and more pressing geopolitical issues. If you could give them maybe a one piece of advice from South Africa's experience, what would it be?
My opinion or my advice would be build institutions before ambition. Nuclear punishes weak governance. It requires long-term competence, technical independence, and public trust. If Namibia gets the governance right, it preserves optionality, whether it decides to build a plant or not.
Thank you, Sharif. Thank you for the insights. Thank you for the expert opinion and advice. You know, we've learned a lot about the two jurisdictions, and particularly Namibia and its future ambitions. You know, hopefully somebody hears this and maybe we inspire the country to do something more with our resources.
The views and information expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily present those of the firm. All content is provided for general purposes only and does not constitute legal advice. We make no representations, warranties, or guarantees, whether expressed or implied, that the content on our podcast is accurate, complete, up-to-date, or reflects the current law. We accept no responsibility for any loss or damage, whether direct or consequential, arising from reliance on the information which is presented here.